Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, Taurean Prince has reportedly has signed an extension with the Timberwolves before he hits unrestricted free agency this offseason. We'll talk about Prince's fit, what that means for the salary cap, and ultimately, was this a good move sitting here right now just before free agency opens? Plus, the press conference for all the first-round picks was on Tuesday as well. We'll talk about all that on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere you can get podcasts. That includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, well, let's get right into it today. There's plenty to talk about. The big news from late on Tuesday evening is that the Timberwolves have agreed to re-sign Taurean Prince. Of course, there's all the weird, like, technically you can't negotiate. Well, I guess you can negotiate with your own free agents. You can't negotiate with other free agents until Thursday night. You can't officially sign contracts until, like, next week at some point. But the Timberwolves, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, have agreed to a two-year, $16 million extension with Taurean Prince, who is about to hit unrestricted free agency as of, 5 p.m. Central on Thursday. But as of Tuesday night, the agreement had been reached. Woj says that the Timberwolves had been talking to his reps for a while and had reached an agreement on Tuesday evening. There's also a follow-up report, and this is important, from John Krasinski of The Athletic, of course, locally in the Twin Cities, that the second year of the contract is not guaranteed. He didn't specify how much, and I've, you know, nobody else out there knows if, like, the whole second year is unguaranteed or if it's partially guaranteed. If effectively, then there would be some sort of, you know, effectively, then that's like a buyout, right? So say it's $8 million the first year and maybe it's $4 million guaranteed the second year, $4 million partially guaranteed for $4 million, then essentially the Wolves would have to pay him, you know, that number before they waive him or something like that. We don't know. We just know that the second year is not fully guaranteed. If it's truly completely unguaranteed and it's essentially an an $8 million contract for the first year and an unguaranteed $8 million for the second year, it's basically like a team option at that point. So my guess is that there's a portion that's guaranteed for year two. The reason why that's important is because the Timberwolves are still trying to maintain cap flexibility moving into next summer. Obviously, at the moment, knowing that D'Angelo Russell's coming off the books, knowing that Patrick Beverley comes off the books, among others, other smaller deals, those are the two big ones, then it's important that the Timberwolves not add too much to that now. They want to maintain that max cap space flexibility and beyond to add pieces. They also know that Karl-Anthony Towns very soon is going to sign that Supermax extension, and Anthony Edwards is going to get his first NBA extension here very soon as well. So the Timberwolves have to be cognizant of what that cap space looks like moving forward. But the two big deals coming off the books is D'Angelo Russell, Patrick Beverley, and there's a series of options on other players. So Taurean Prince is only partially guaranteed. I think that's really important. Jared Vanderbilt also has a non-guaranteed deal for next year, but at $4.7 million, that'll be kind of a no-brainer. And they've got a bunch of these rookie scale deals that are $3 million and below. Past year's first-round picks from Jaden McDaniels to Leandro Bolmaro, and then obviously this year's picks, Kessler, Moore, and then Jordan McLaughlin also has a team option. So lots of options for next year. But say that they all, say the Wolves pick up all of their options and all of, even the guaranteed money or unguaranteed money. So say Vanderbilt's back at $4.7 million and Prince is back at $8 million. This is not this year, but the following season. They still have about $44 million coming off the books between D'Lo and Patrick Beverley, plus a team option on Malik Beasley for $16.5 million. So they could create, I mean, doing that math on the fly, what's 44 plus 16? So that's $60 million they could create in cap space, which is nearly two max contracts for next summer that the Wolves could create pending the extensions for Anthony Edwards. That's obviously going to potentially adjust what that number looks like, I guess, beyond that, right? Because he would still be playing in the final year of his rookie deal. So they could create $60 million in cap space, depending on what happens with Malik Beasley. I want to talk about Malik a little bit later in the show, because I still think we're not quite talking enough about the possibility that he perhaps isn't on this roster moving forward. I think everybody's focused on D'Angelo Russell, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So at any rate, the addition of Torian Prince, or the re-addition of Torian Prince, I think is a savvy move for multiple reasons, but I think the cap thing is super important to point out. So the initial reaction for people might be, oh, why are they using cap space on a rotation guy? You know, what are they going to do in free agency? Well, they still have the mid-level exception to use because they are going to be up against the cap still. And so they'll be able to use that exception. And it doesn't impact your max cap space next summer if it's partially guaranteed. And even if they pay him, they can still pay max dollars next summer for somebody if they wanted to in free agency or absorb salary via trade. And then also the other layer that I mentioned that it's not fully guaranteed is really important. So what I want to do next is I want to talk about his actual fit with the roster, his season this year for the Wolves, why it's important that he's back. And then I want to get into the presser from early Tuesday with the rookies. There wasn't a whole lot from it, but there's a couple things I want to pull out. And then some stuff that Chris Finch said afterwards related to some players on the roster following the larger press conference when he did a small scrum where he talked to the media. I want to talk about that here next. First of all, let's talk about our friends over at Sakara Nutrition. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakara Nutrition helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakara gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Sakara's functional plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Sakara's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockdown20 or enter the code lockdown20 at checkout. Again, that's Sakara, sakara.com/lockdown20 to get 20% off your first order. Again, sakara.com/lockdown20. All right, let's keep talking Torian Prince because I think the fit's important. And then I mentioned Malik Beasley. I want to get back to him too. So Torian Prince did not have a great start to his season in Minnesota. Of course, he had a track record of being a really successful kind of 3-and-D player with some versatility defensively. You may recall last year, right about this time, I guess it was about a month later because the draft was later, the Timberwolves traded Ricky Rubio for Prince and a second round pick. And in the moment, I wasn't sure I liked the deal because I think in a vacuum, Ricky Rubio is a better player than Torian Prince. And now, of course, it's very questionable with the ACL injury to Rubio and Prince having a strong close to the year. But, you know, a year ago in a vacuum, I think it was pretty clear you could make the argument Rubio is a better player. However, when the Wolves ultimately acquired Patrick Beverley last August, obviously you trade Rubio, Juancho Hernan Gomez and Jarrett Culver for Torian Prince, Patrick Beverley to second round pick. There's no question about that. That's a better group of assets. So the Wolves ultimately won that swap. It made a ton of sense. It added depth. It added, you know, players that fit better. Patrick Beverley is a better fit for this team than Ricky Rubio because he's a better spot up shooter. He's a better team defender. The personality, the leadership style, I think better fits what the Wolves needed. So there's no question that that was a swap that made sense for the Wolves. At the moment, I questioned the deal because of I didn't know who the backup point guard was going to be. I didn't know what the strategy was there. But Prince ended up being a perfect fit for this team. Something that I think I certainly discounted last year was his leadership ability, the impact he'd have on the locker room as kind of a quiet, confident type leader. Somebody who, you know, he's not a Patrick Beverley, get under your skin on the court kind of guy, but he's a tough, doesn't back down kind of guy. The Wolves need more of those mentalities in their locker room. Torian Prince brought exactly that. Also, I thought he was a bit overrated as a one-on-one defender, but what the Wolves are trying to do defensively, Prince actually fits what they're doing really well. They're not asking him to take the number one, you know, offensive perimeter player on the opposing team every night and have him. I mean, that's what Jaden McDaniels is for. Patrick Beverley, I guess, as well. Anthony Edwards now is taking on primary ball handlers more often, depending on the game and the matchup. Ant is a really solid on-ball defender. I thought he was a plus on-ball defender for the second part of last year. They need Prince to be switchable, to be versatile, to be able to guard threes and fours, to play the four in small ball lineups, to play the three in bigger lineups. And Prince could do that. And he's a solid team defender. He's still a solid one-on-one defender. And he was coming off a career high shooting the ball in the season split between Brooklyn and Cleveland in 2020-2021. 40% was his career best. He came to Minnesota in the first couple of months. He was like under 20% around Christmas time last winter. And then he had a great second half of the season, ended up shooting 37.6% from three, which is, it's the fourth best mark of his career, but it's a little better than his career mark of 37.1%. So right in line with where you'd expect him to be. He was great from the corners. I believe he was over 40% from the corners. 44.6% from the corners. And 40%, by the way, 40% of his attempts came from the corners because that was his role in the open floor, was sprint to the corners in transition. He also ended up there a lot of the time if he was playing offensively. If he ended up kind of in the dunker spot, which happened occasionally, he would kind of float to the corners depending on the action, which was the proper read, and shot 40% of his three-point attempts came from the corners, shot almost 45% on corner threes. So his fit of a dynamite corner three-point shooter, which, by the way, he shot a lot less threes the year prior, but he was 52% from the corners. 52% for the corners in the year prior to coming to Minnesota. So over the last couple of years, he's just a hair under 50% shooting threes from the corners. So a dynamite corner three-point shooter, a solid team defender, a really good locker room guy. I said this on Twitter Tuesday night after the news broke, but I mean, this is the type of player, Taurean Prince is the type of player that contending teams have, right? He might be the eighth or ninth guy on the roster, but he's a great locker room guy. He will play his role. When he gets the opportunity, he'll be effective in his role. He played by far the least minutes per game of his career since his rookie season last year. 5 minutes per game less than he had in the previous year, which was the year he played the next least. So his role shrunk, and at times during the season, he was pretty clear that he wasn't happy that he wasn't playing. He had DNP CDs at times in the middle of the season where he just wasn't in the rotation. But he played his role when he got the opportunity. He was effective. He can do basically anything on the court. He can even initiate some offense. It's not really what you want, but he did that at times when the team was depleted because of COVID and other injuries. He's a well-rounded player that can do virtually anything and do a good job at it, do an average to above average job. And good contending winning teams have players like this. And at $8 million a year, with the second year not completely guaranteed, this is a really smart readdition to the roster. So related to that, I want to talk about the broader context of now free agency the rest of the offseason in light of the Prince signing, right? Because the Timberwolves now have the top 11 minutes getters from last season's team are all under contract for next year. Assuming that I should also mention, Nasreddin and Jalen Noel's contract options, the deadline is today. It's Wednesday the 29th. I mean, they're both very modest contracts. They're like 2-ish million. 1.9 million only, which is just insane. There's no way the Wolves don't pick up both of them, even if they end up trading Nasreed later, which is a conversation for another day. I think it's entirely on the table. But they're each making 1.9 million. The Wolves are going to pick those contracts up. So assuming they do that, which they will, the top 11 players in the rotation, 11 guys in terms of minutes played last season, will be back next year. They're under contract. So the only real possibility the Wolves could do anything in free agency would be related to the mid-level exception and any potentially vet minimum contracts. If they did that, though, they're also running out of roster spaces, so they would also need to trade somebody. So I'd like to spend more time on this Thursday leading into free agency, but there's a couple of ways I think the Wolves may create a roster space and may feel like that's important to do to add somebody. I think one of them, again, we'll talk more about this, would be moving Nasreed for a pick or two. I think that's a possibility. The D'Lo thing is a conversation that we've talked about a lot. And yes, it's still very possible that D'Angelo Russell gets traded. But sitting here right now, I think it's just as likely that Malik Beasley ends up as part of a trade than D'Angelo Russell. And that's just my pulse on the situation based on, I think Beasley's a much more tradable asset than D'Angelo Russell. If you're not going to get, D'Angelo Russell makes twice as much money, virtually, almost twice as much money as Malik Beasley. And you're going to get more assets back from Malik Beasley at, well, actually, it is almost exactly twice as much money. You're going to get more back from Malik at $15.5 million than D'Angelo Russell at $31-plus million on an expiring deal. So I think it's just as likely Malik Beasley gets traded for, you know, maybe it's a pick and a player or something like that, for the Wolves to potentially free up a little bit of space this year in terms of cap, free up some roster spots. And I want to, next segment, I want to talk a little bit about why I think that, another reason why I think that's possible. But if the Wolves need to free up a roster spot, I think that Malik Beasley is just as likely to be moved as D'Angelo Russell, if not more so. I just think he'll be an easier player to move. And part of that reason we're going to talk about next, that's Jalen Nowell. Chris Finch talked glowingly about Jalen Nowell following the rookie press conference on Tuesday. So I want to talk about the press conference. I also want to talk about Jalen Nowell. So we'll start there and then we'll talk a little bit of rookies. And then on Thursday's show, I want to dig into what I think my predictions for the free agency period, basically the next week to 10 days, what I think the Wolves will ultimately do the rest of this offseason leading into free agency. So I want to go on record with all that. So we'll do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's, I guess NHL and NBA playoffs are both over now. So it's Major League Baseball and getting ready for the NFL. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Plus, BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news. Throughout the summer, BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including, of course, still MMA, boxing, golf, whatever your cup of tea is. Also, NFL preseason about 6 weeks away, college football on the heels of that. There's plenty to still go to BetOnline.net and check out. You can head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so following the press conference on Tuesday when Walker Kessler, Wendell Moore Jr., and Josh Minot were all announced, Tim Connelly and Chris Finch spoke a little bit. They answered questions at the presser, but then following that, Chris Finch did a media scrum and mentioned Jalen Nowell in the same breath, unprompted, as Anthony Edwards and Jane McDaniels. He was talking about their young core. There was a follow-up question asked, and he basically was like, yeah, I want him to feel every bit a part of our young core as anyone else, which is huge. I mean, obviously, you look at, I don't know, just look at the cap sheet, right? And Jalen Nowell, as I mentioned, is making $1.9 million this year. Anthony Edwards is making almost $11 million this year. Jane McDaniels, of course, making not a whole lot more than Jalen, but what, $2.1 million? And obviously, nobody nationally talks about Jalen Nowell ever. I'll go back to, I don't probably need to keep dragging Josh Lloyd like this. Go back to last year, not quite a year ago, last fall, I did a show with Josh Lloyd, the fantastic host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He also hosted at the time a Locked On NBA show weekly. And he asked me who I thought was kind of an under the radar rotation guy for the Wolves. And I said Jalen Nowell, and he was surprised, thought he was more of an injury fill in, could stuff stat sheets for fantasy purposes, but would he really contribute to the team? And I thought Jalen Nowell going into last year could. I thought that he was a you know, exactly what we saw last year, right? A three-level scorer, somebody who could step in, be a microwave off the bench, but also still playmake and still create for others, still initiate offense with confidence. And he was forced into something of a point guard role for brief stretches last year when there were injury issues. You know, Pat Bev was out with injuries and there was COVID that almost everyone on the roster came down with. And Nowell showed the ability to do all of those things. The only real hole in his game right now is defense. And I guess, you know, That's really the biggest thing, right? And he improved in that regard last year. Chris Finch mentioned that to the media on Tuesday. But Jalen Nowell is an NBA caliber scorer. And if the defense can just improve a little bit, he's a surefire rotation guy on a playoff team, right? We saw him, the Wolves called on him a couple of times in the Memphis series in the playoffs to try and get them going offensively. And he can do that. He can jumpstart an offense. He's fantastic initiating in the pick and roll, usually getting downhill, getting his own buckets. And that's oftentimes a pull up from, you know, 12 to 15 feet. He loves pulling up around the elbows. He's fantastic from there, but he also can get all the way to the rim and score. He's a good enough athlete and has enough size and length to be good there. So I think it's notable that Finch mentioned him as part of this young core moving forward. for a couple of reasons. One, because Finch continues to be an advocate for Jalen Noel and continues to try and find him minutes. And two, read it between the lines a little bit. What does that say about Malik Beasley? Now, and I'm not trying to start, like, this isn't like a, I think it's fair to do this, right? Because yes, the question, or he was talking about the young core, Malik Beasley wouldn't necessarily be considered part of a young core, even though he's in the prime of his career. He's actually, what, roughly the same age as Karl-Anthony Towns, I believe. But I think that Malik Beasley is like the name that we're not talking about, right? I mean, you know, Beverly just got his extension a few months ago. You know, Prince got his now. Everybody's still talking about how the front court's going to look with Vanderbilt. You know, will D'Lo be traded? The young core with Jaden McDaniels and obviously the draft picks. And but nobody's talking about Malik Beasley. And reading between the lines, that leads me to believe. And also, don't gloss over the fact that Jalen Noel plays the same position effectively as Malik Beasley with more versatility. Malik Beasley is not initiating your offense. Jalen Noel can initiate offense. He can be a ball handler. He can be a combo guard. And he's both players improved defensively last year. They both committed, so credit to both of them. But Jalen Noel, I think, has better defensive upside. He's got a little bit more size than Malik Beasley, and it's not like Malik's an all-world defender anyway. So replacing Malik Beasley's minutes, again, he was improved last year, but replacing his minutes with Jalen Noel doesn't give you a monster step back defensively. And also, you've got Wendell Moore Jr. to kind of fill in there too, you know, on the fringes of the rotation, play the Josh Okogie role this year in that regard. I think it's notable. I think that the reading between the lines tells me Malik Beasley's available. We know he was available at the trade deadline, that the Timberwolves discussed trading him. Boston was a hot rumor. I think it's entirely possible. $15.5 million is reasonable for Malik Beasley for a team that can give him a more defined role than Minnesota. Plus, the team option next year is you could treat him as an expiring if you want to. Or if Malik goes somewhere, say he starts on a fringe playoff team, he goes to like a, it's not this, but I always use Charlotte as an example of a fringe playoff team because I think it's, they're always a fringe playoff team effectively. But like a Charlotte or a Washington, say Bradley Beal leaves and Washington needs a guard. And, you know, Malik Beasley, if he goes somewhere to a fringe playoff team, gets to start and averages 20 points a game, $16.5 million next year, the following season on team option is a steal, right? I think he's worth that if he gets the minutes. You're not going to play him over Anthony Edwards. He wasn't comfortable coming off the bench and didn't get enough minutes to truly, you know, catch fire and be himself last year. Obviously, coming into the season a little bit out of shape and the legal issues certainly played into that. But I think that there's value there. There's a team that needs some scoring, that needs some perimeter shooting, that could say, hey, look, $15.5 million this year, $16.5 million next year from Malik Beasley, that's a steal. Or say he doesn't have a great year, or hopefully this doesn't happen, but say he gets traded and gets hurt. Team could treat that as an expiring and allow him to leave next offseason, trade him at the deadline or allow the contract to expire next offseason and use the cap space. So I think Malik Beasley clearly has more trade value. It's just common sense that he has more trade value than D'Angelo Russell. I'm not saying he's a better player, so D'Lo stands, don't hear that. Let, you know, in a vacuum, yes, D'Lo's a better player than Malik Beasley. However, at half the price, with a team option for the following year, which can be an expiring or it can be a bargain if he plays really well, Malik Beasley has more trade value than D'Angelo Russell. So if you're looking for the Wolves to make a splash, I think they're going to have a better chance of making a splash by trading Malik Beasley for, you know, obviously I don't know what they're going to get for him, but that would then give Jalen Noel that bigger role that Chris Finch is searching to give him, right? To give Jalen Noel more minutes, to give him a bigger role within the Timberwolves offense. And rightfully so, because as I've said, I really like Jalen Noel. I like the fact that he could do so many things well. And I think we're maybe sleeping on this possibility a little bit. I'll talk a little bit more about it Thursday because I do think there's more to say here. Very briefly, the press conference on Tuesday with the rookies, not a whole lot from the from the actual presser. All three of the guys sound like exactly what the Wolves brass had been saying following the draft, that they're high character type guys, understand the game, just want to play hard. They all unprompted talked about their, you know, intensity and playing hard, and they want to bring, I think it was Josh Minot that says he wants to bring intangibles, which is such a advanced thing to say, like the awareness to say, hey, you know, he's a second round pick. A lot of guys come in and say, I want to be an all-star, you know, which is great and you should, but Josh Minot knows he's going to have to bring intangibles as a second round pick to a playoff team if he's going to see the floor at all. in his first year or two in the league. I mean, Jalen Noel barely played his rookie year, right? The same kind of situation, except for that the Wolves are better now than they were then. So the awareness of Minot to say something like that, Wendell Moore said some stuff that was similar. And Walker Kessler talked a little bit about, I actually love, I wrote down, he brought up plane angles. He was asked how he defends without fouling and block shots without fouling. He talked about understanding angles, which I, based on just watching him and scouting report on Walker Kessler in my my draft kind of capsule on him, I think it was last week, maybe the year or the week prior, I think it was early last week, I talked about clearly he understands angles. He knows how to angle ball handlers, trap them on the baseline, angle them into a spot where they're behind the backboard and he could just simply block the shot or they hit the underside of the backboard, use his length to bother players on the perimeter. He talked about using his length and using angles, which I thought was awesome. It's exactly what I had identified with him, is he understands that side of the game, which is going to be super important at the NBA level, to not foul these ball handlers that are just simply looking to throw their body into a big and get a foul call. Understanding angles and using your length to your advantage is a huge part of defending without fouling. And clearly Kessler understands that. So I thought all three guys are impressive. I thought that there wasn't anything totally groundbreaking, but a very interesting group of guys who all clearly understand they're coming to a winning team that's developing a winning culture that has suddenly a good reputation in terms of their coach and front office. I thought that they looked the part and spoke the part, all three of them. So all that to say, free agency starts Thursday night. Thursday morning show, I will talk a little bit more about my predictions for the offseason. And yes, we'll talk Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell. I want to talk Naz Reid, what I think is going to happen here upcoming in the next several days, and I guess into the next couple of weeks. So that's all upcoming on Thursday's show. Otherwise, that's all we have for today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, and thank you for making us your first listen. Of course, you can find the show anywhere, including YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K. EN. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And thank you again for making us your first listen. A reminder that for your second listen, you can get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA update show in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.